Okay. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. This is going to be our foundation scripture. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. One thing that we need to understand is that shed blood speaks. Not just the blood of Jesus, but blood speaks. God hears that blood. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the blood was shed for our will. Remember, we talk about all these different places where Jesus shed his blood. And we need to identify those different places and find out what happened when he did that. Now, when he went to the Rock of Gethsemane, he prayed and it said, as it were, pouring out of his, coming out of his forehead, drops of blood. He shed blood there. And that was for our will. That blood was shed to get our willpower back. Remember, Jesus' will was out of line with the will of the Father. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. He prayed the prayer of consecration. See, nobody had ever done what Jesus was about to do. That had never, ever happened. And I imagine as much pressure as he had on him, it was enough pressure for him to sweat blood. And he said, well, there's no other way, not my will, but your will be done. That's the prayer of consecration. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is the only one that had any business praying that prayer. But yet we have Christians all over the place praying that prayer. And how they do it is they'll find something that they need. Maybe they'll be sick and they need healing, or maybe they need finances, you know, whatever it is. They'll pray a prayer and then they'll throw this in at the end of it, said, if it be thy will. That's a cop out. And then if nothing happens, and they say, well, it must not have been God's will. God gave us his will. He wrote it down for us. And in fact, he even one-upped it and said, the promises are yea and amen. So when we know the word of God, which is the will of God, and we take his word and return it to him, we can expect an answer. And the answer is yes. Our job is to believe it and receive it. But see, people throw that if it be thy will statement in at the end of their prayers so they can passive aggressively blame God for them not believing what they wanted. See how that works? It's a crazy system, but it makes people feel better, and it's just terrible. It's terrible. God said, this is what you got right here in the Bible. He gave it to us. It's an open book test. He said, it's yours. Matter of fact, he said in his word, he prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's right here and now. That table is filled with everything that you need. So when you find a promise of God in the Bible, know that it's yes and amen. That's where the problem arises. People are not sure. See, it will take a little bit of time to meditate on his word, to study it out, to meditate on it, think about it, ponder it, go over it, Find other scriptures that back it up and get it in you. It may take a little while. And then once you get it in you and you know it's yours, then you say it out loud in faith, believing that you already received it. And you're pretty much just thanking God for it. Now, Jesus brought his will under subjection, and he shed blood doing it. And our wills have been redeemed. That was like the first place that he shed blood, at that rock. I don't know how much pressure you have to be under in order to sweat blood, but I imagine it was an immense amount of pressure. So now, our willpower got given back to us. That's a big thing. That's a huge thing. There are people running around saying they can't do this or they can't do that. You know, one of the strongest things that you can say is, I will. When you will to do something, the devil can't stop you. When you decide that you're going to do something, he's toast. Like when you got born again, that was a choice of your will. And you got it done. You got born again. But you had to hear the gospel. You had to have something to believe in before you did that. Everything else that we're going to receive from God is going to be the very same way. We're going to have to hear it. We're going to have to see it. We're going to have to read it, meditate on it, look at it, and then believe it, and then speak it forth. And it's the same recipe. It's the same recipe. For some reason, I mean, I'm not the only guilty one. There's a lot of people that are guilty of this. They think that you get born again, and then everything else you get from God is another recipe. And they spend the rest of their life looking for the other recipes. It's the same. It's the very same. You have to believe it in your heart and then confess it with your mouth. That's simple enough directions, isn't it? But how did you come to believe it in your heart? Somebody told you about it, didn't they? Well, now when we get born again and we start going through the Bible and we start finding different things in there, you know, we look in there and we say, okay, I better meditate on this one for a little bit. That meditation and studying that word and looking at it will dispel the doubt so that you can believe it in your heart. There's a lot of things that we doubt. We just don't know. You know, see, if we don't know something, how are we going to put our faith in it? We're going to have to learn about it, aren't we? So then we learn about it, so we can put our faith in it. You know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The more we learn of Jesus, the more of what he has is going to come to us. You know, he got a crown of thorns. They mashed that crown of thorns and that. Those thorns on that thing, they looked like they were about that long. They were huge. They were big. But they didn't just set it on there. They mashed it down there. They hit it with sticks. They knocked it down in there. Hard enough to pierce him so he could shed blood. The thorns, by the way, are a sign of the curse that is in the earth. The blood speaks to us that we are redeemed from the curse. The blood says that we are well. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. It took shedding of blood to do that. But those thorns are a direct sign of the curse, and Jesus took that curse for us. How about the stripes on his back? He certainly shed blood there, didn't he? Well, that blood says that we are healed. It speaks healing to us. The Bible tells us it was by his stripes we were healed. That's the blood speaking to us. See, the blood speaks. Not just the blood of Jesus. You know, the blood of Abel cried out to God. You know, the blood of all the saints that have been martyred. I can't remember the scripture, but I believe Jesus talked about, he was talking to the Pharisees, and he reminded them of one of the prophets that they killed. He said, his blood cries out. I can't remember where that is, but he talked about it. That blood cries out to God. That blood will be justified. One of the things the Jewish people seemed to be, at that time, they seemed to be pretty bravo. And they were taking Jesus through his passion. And anyway, Pilate, he said, I don't want nothing to do with this. And they said, no, we gotta do this. He said, no, I don't want nothing to do with this. And they said, well, let his blood be upon us if he's innocent. If you study through history, not long after that, they had crucified so many people, there wasn't enough places to put crosses. They just crucified, I don't know how many Jews. We need to be careful what we say. With the words of our mouth, we are snared. You know, that's what they said. They said, let his blood be upon us. That wasn't a very good idea. You know, the nails and the sword pierced him. The blood says that we are completely redeemed. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Every time we remind ourselves that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we're honoring the blood of Jesus. Because you couldn't do that on your own. The only way that could happen is because of the shed blood of Jesus. So you're saying what the blood of Jesus did when you say that. I'm justified freely by his grace. You just honored the blood of Jesus. You know, one of the best things you can do is honor the blood of Jesus. Every drop of Jesus' blood carries the redemption of God. Without that shedding of blood, there is no redemption. There is no forgiveness of sins. There's no salvation. And in fact, in the Old Testament, they couldn't be right with God unless they had that atonement. And see, the thing about an atonement is it was just a covering. And they had to get it renewed every year. Because they had a constant remembrance of their sins. Unfortunately, now today we have Christians acting like they're going from atonement to atonement. Because they keep asking God to forgive them what he already forgave them for. We need to understand when we went to Jesus and said, save me, that the blood of Jesus remitted our sins. That means it completely washed away our sins. If we listened to some of these songs about being made as white as wool, and then really ponder that and think about that, because that's how you've been made forever in the eyes of God. Does that mean you don't ever make mistakes? No, that doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. What that means is you're under the blood of Jesus. Nothing can separate you from that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. And one thing about blood covenants, it was very strong friendships. Matter of fact, you know, we sing songs, I'm a friend of God. See, that word friend gets thrown around pretty loosely these days. But in covenant days, that means you was in a covenant. If you called somebody your friend, you were in covenant with them. You didn't just go around calling people friends. In order to be called a friend, you had to go through a blood covenant ritual with that person. Well, that's what happened when you got born again. And now you are a friend of God. Not only are you a friend of God, you are a child of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 says, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. See, before we got born again, we were Gentiles. Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. See, this blood covenant is friendship. It's a giving of one's total self in covenant faithfulness in unreserved trust. See, we've been told to trust in Jesus. That's our only way to salvation, is put our trust in Him. That's a total friendship. You can't even imagine how many people I've ran into and talked to over the years. They said they're hoping to be saved. I tell them, I said, hoping isn't going to get the job done. You've got to get this wrote in stone. You've got to get this right. You're not going to get up to heaven and flip a gate and see which way you go. That's not the way it works. You have to know for certain that you are saved. So then we go down through the Romans Road. We talk about that. And they get born again if they want. There's a lot of people that are trying to be saved. That's false teaching. By trying to be saved, that means that somehow you can earn it. Just right. If you go through a certain set of steps, you go through a certain set of rituals, and you do things a certain way, you'll be saved. That's pride. That won't work. It won't. The only thing we can do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, unfortunately, we've been strangers from the covenants of promise. A lot of people are. There's a lot of people that are strangers from the covenants of promise. You know, there's a lot of born-again people running around that don't know about a whole bunch of these promises of God. And in fact, some of them have been told terrible lies about them, so they just stay away from them. You know, the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's people that run backwards when you talk about that. That's one of the covenant promises. But they're strangers from it. There's some that run backwards when you talk about healing. They don't believe in it because they haven't been taught. One of the problems in our world is the full gospel of salvation does not get preached. I've been kind of, what would you call it? I kind of pick on pastors sometimes. I used to, not so much but anymore, but I used to just try to find out where they really stood. And we'd be visiting, you know, and I'd say, well, do you preach the full gospel? And they said, well, yeah. So then you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If they stutter once, then I know where they stand. They don't preach the full gospel. Do you preach the full gospel? I said, yes. So you believe in the laying on of hands and seeing people get healed and watching miracles? They stutter. They don't believe the full gospel. See, it's important to locate people. You can't just go getting yoked up with just anybody that comes down the street. You got to know where they stand. You got to know what they really believe. Because there's a lot of people that just believe in some absolute nonsense. Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Why did Jesus say what he just said there? He was talking about this covenant. You know, one of the things that they would do when they cut a covenant is they would break bread. They would literally break bread and drink wine. They wanted to signify what they were doing. That Holy Communion that we take every Sunday is one of the strongest symbols of that blood covenant that we've got. See, this is why it's so important to go ahead and discern the body of Christ. Look at everything that he went through in that sacrifice. And then honor the blood. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 25. When God has set forth, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So, what is faith in Jesus' blood? Well, we have to understand what atoning blood is. See, the Hebrew word for the Hebrew word kaporim means atonement or a covering. And see, these people would have to go do a sacrifice so that they could get a covering, so that they could be right before God for a little while. But when you got born again, you got that blood of Jesus applied to you. And here's a good thing People are always worried about how God sees them. Just to help you out a little bit, he's not looking at you directly. He's looking at the sacrifice. See, when somebody would take a sacrifice to the high priest would examine it. He'd sacrifice this thing, put it on the altar, and it'd go up. And if God accepted the sacrifice, then the man walked away clean. He didn't look at the man, he looked at the sacrifice. How do you suppose he seen Jesus' sacrifice? Absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. That's why we can say that God did a perfect work in you when he got you born again. Now we have to catch up to that. You know, there is certain levels of sanctification. See, when you get born again, you get sanctified. That means you literally get set apart for Christ. But you can take that sanctification to different levels. You know, there's people that are born again, they're set apart for Christ's use, and maybe that's as far as it goes. Then maybe there's some of them that go out into the mission field. And maybe some of them end up in the ministry. Wayne Myers, he took that sanctification to a level that I can't even imagine. He has no attachment to the world. He has a house just because you have to have a house to live in. It's not a big one, it's a little one. He has a refrigerator to keep his food preserved and a stove to cook it on. And cars meant very little to him, other than it was something that he could give away. Till finally, somebody just wouldn't sign the title over to him, so he couldn't give it away no more. The first time I ever laid eyes on him, he reached in his pocket, grabbed all the money he had in his pocket, and gave it to a little girl. First time he ever seen her. He just gave her that money. He has no attachment to the things of the world. That's a high level of sanctification. It's attainable, but he's sold out for Christ that he's really not interested in anything of the world. He spent his whole life reaching out to the lost. He's 92 years old, something like that, and he's still preaching. You know, they talked about this atonement a lot in the Old Testament. And now the Hebrew word kafar means atonement. That means to make a covering. That's mentioned 68 times in the Old Testament. The thing that we got is reconciliation. When that blood of Jesus got applied to our lives, we got reconciled to God. You know, Jesus reconciled us to him. Somebody told us about Jesus. And we got reconciled to God. And at that very minute, we got given the ministry of reconciliation. See, a lot of people don't understand this. The minute you got born again, you got brought into the ministry. That's just the way it is. You may not be part of the fivefold, but you have a ministry, and it is a very important one. See, You're going to run into people that are not going to come walking through that door on Sunday morning. They're just not. But you're going to run into them. And there are people that knew you before you got born again. And then all of a sudden you changed. And they're watching you. They're watching you. One of the strangest things I ever heard is listening to this preacher. And he said, you should preach the gospel every single day of your life. And if you have to, then you should use words. And I thought, this guy is crazy. I thought, how can that possibly be? How can this guy not be crazy? And I just kept living my life, and God kept changing me and changing me and changing me. I didn't realize that I had watchers. There was watchers. And then I came down here to Bible school, and my pastor called me, and he said, do you know so-and-so? And the name kind of sounded a little bit familiar. I said, well, kinda. And they said, well, they said they knew you before Jesus. And then they said they knew you after Jesus. And they came out to me and said, whatever you did to him, do that to us. So I'm still not exactly sure who these people were. But God changed me enough for somebody to notice it. People are watching. They want to know why you're all of a sudden okay when you didn't used to be. You know what happened? You got brought into that covenant of promise. The blessing. You got in contact with the blessing. Even if you don't have very much money, people notice the change. Well, you got a little more than you had before. What are you doing different? Why do you seem to have favor with a boss that is just hard on everybody else, but you got favor with him? Why do you get along with this guy? The blessing, when you get attached to that blessing and you start believing it, you start honoring the blood of Jesus, and you start looking and see what those promises are, and you start relying on those instead of your own talent, guess what happens? Things change. We better stop there. We're not going to get much farther. So thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that he did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, we especially thank you that we are under the blood. Father, we praise you for everything that the blood of Jesus has bought and paid for us. Everything that the blood of Jesus does for us, that blood protects us. And it's because of that blood that we can go boldly into your throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. It's because of your blood of Jesus that we are in right standing with you. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we're justified. We've been made holy. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for every drop that was shed. And it was for us, and it was on purpose. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.